मिलिदं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् तं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। बलं बलवदां चाहं कामराग विवर्जितं धर्मा अविरुद्ध भूतेषु कामोऽस्मि भरदर्षभा। वर्स 11, दट्स् वाट् वि डिस्कस् सन्डे। बलं बलवदां चाहं कामराग विवर्जितं धर्मा अविरुद्ध भूतेषु कामोऽस्मि भरदर्षभा। कृष्ण इस् सेयिङ्ग् दट् दि वि सो वाट् इस् बलं बलवदां चाहं मीन्स् इस् इट् थ्रू द एक्साम्पल् आफ् हनुमान्। Kamarag vivarjitam, that strength Krishna says without desire, without attachment, neither ragam nor kamam, neither desiring nor attachment, that strength in a person is me. That's first one. Second thing, dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava, that is the difficult part to understand. Most of the people get concerned over what exactly does that mean. You see, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, that two lines, dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi. Normally, we have the understanding that desiring itself is wrong thing. Desiring itself is wrong thing. So, Krishna is saying here, desiring is not wrong. What is against the religious principles, if you desire something, that's wrong. Dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi. That is me, he is saying. So, to understand, as we discussed on Sunday also, if something comes by prarabdham in life, if it comes to us in a routine way, in a prarabdham way, and if it is not against the religious principles, which means that doesn't give distress to someone or pain to someone, it does not break the laws of material nature, and if there is no violence involved in that, and it does not create ragadvesham, attachment or aversion from that, and by executing that particular activity, if our vasana gets destroyed, and at the same time the karma is complete, if it is all like that, Krishna says it's not against. That's what dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu. It's a very complex thing to keep in mind, in the sense that Krishna says the idea of all karma is to exhaust the vasana inside. But while exhausting that vasana, it should not create further karma again. That's the most important thing. That's otherwise, ragadvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyais charan. Atma vishyar vidhayatma prasadam abhigachadi. That is Krishna's statement in the second chapter. That ragadvesha, freedom from ragadvesham. Ragadvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyais charan. Vishayam, sense objects are there. And when the senses are in contact with the sense objects, ragadvesham will come. But if ragadvesham, if does not happen, then atma vashyat vidhaya atma, then he is situated in the platform of the soul, and that will bring happiness. Prasadam abhigachadi. Krishna is saying like that. So, this is to be taken very carefully, because the greatest enemy what we have is our own mind. And mind will dictate many things. Whenever we have to do something, the mind will come up with so many different ideas. But whatever it may be, if there is a desire in a person, it shows that there is ignorance in that person. The desiring itself is a symptom of ignorance. Desiring itself is a symptom. And it's a sign. Any desire means there is something incomplete within us. We are not complete within ourselves. That's why desires are building up. So basically what saying is that desire itself is something lacking in us. That's why desire is building up. Practically we say that we have the begging bowl inside. Outside we may look complete, but inside there is the begging bowl inside us. So a person externally may look like a poor person or a beggar, but inside if he is complete, that is a better situation. So any desire will bring us down. Any desire will bring us down. At the same time, due to prarabdham, some desires will come. Due to prarabdham, some desires will come. And you can call it as material nature, in other words. Material nature creates that prarabdham, manifests in the form of desires. For example, because this is a very finer thing, you're feeling hungry to have a meal. That is a desire, isn't it? In one level, you can say it is a desire. But that is not considered to be a desire, because it becomes a desire when you keep insisting that I must have a particular type of food. Only then it is a desire. But food is necessary to satisfy, to keep the life going. For that you are allowed to eat. That's not considered wrong. But if you start insisting that you need a particular food to eat, then it's a desire. Then it is a desire. So suppose for hunger I need some food to satisfy the hunger, then it's not a desire. It's only a biological urge, in other words. So even there we prepare the food what we like, isn't it? And similarly, to have a home to live, which is a necessity, it is not considered to be, it's a biological need to have a home to live, a place to live, isn't it? Similarly, based on the community you live, there will be some kind of demands within the community, which also certain things you may have to do. So all these things, if it is not causing any violence towards someone else, and if it's not against religious principles, which means we know what that means, that it does not cause any distress to anybody, and at the same time any other living entity, and we have a right to fulfill that desire, That is what Krishna is saying here, dharma aviruddha bodheshu. So that's a very important statement. Dharmam aviruddha bodheshu kamam asmi bharadarshava. Krishna is saying like that. Dharmartham, what he says here is in the, it's a very difficult thing to completely remember. It says, dharmena shastarthe shastastrena aviruddho ya pranishu bhudeshu kamam yatha deha dharana matradi artho ashana panadi vishayam sa kamosmi he bharadarshava. Krishna is saying that the every living entity has a right to live in this world. Every living entity has a right to live in this world. But therefore everybody needs some food and a shelter also. And that lies, everybody has a right to have it. Everybody has a right to have it. And dharma aviruddha bodesho, that is not against the principle of dharma. That is allowed. That is not against the principle of dharma. Because in order that the body has to survive in the world, you have to have some desires also. Otherwise the bodily needs won't be there. So in order to continue to live in this world, you cannot live without desires. What Krishna is saying here is that desire is me. That is not a desire. That's me. Krishna says. Because Krishna only makes us desire like that, but that desire is Krishna. All other desires, what comes from the mind, which is not sanctioned by Krishna, is not Krishna. Is not. What is sanctioned by Krishna? That means for minimum maintenance of the body, certain things like eating, sleeping, a place is allowed, which is not against the religious principles. So that is allowed. Otherwise, all other activities, other karma, will sow the seed of another karma from there, and it will prolong the cycle of birth and death. In other words, Krishna says, that's me. So we can't say everything is a desire. For example, to eat, to have a meal, or to sleep, that is not considered to be a desire. That's not considered to be a desire. That's not considered to be a desire. So, similarly, when distress comes, any kind of distress comes in life, we look for a solution for that. We look for a solution. That is not considered to be a desire, because that is material nature, that is dharma. And if there is no attachment and aversion, ragam and dvesham in there, that is dharma, that is Krishna's manifestations. That's why Krishna says, dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshabha. Any dharmam, any kamam or any desire which is not against the religious principles, that's me, that's my nature. That's my manifestation, in other words, Krishna is saying. It's worthwhile thinking about it, and I'm sure we will come to some right conclusions in there. So, that is what that verse means. Now, that's the next verse is a little expansion of that, which we'll look at it now. Verse 12. ये चैव सात्विका भावाम् राजसस्तामसश्चयेम् मत्तये वेदितान् विद्धि नत्वाहं तेषु ते मयि ये चैव सात्विका भावाम् राजसस्तामसश्चयेम् मत्तये वेदितान् विद्धि नत्वाहं तेषु ते मयि ये चैव सात्विका भावा राजसः तामसश्चये मत्तये वेदितान् विद्धि नत्वाहं तेषु ते मयि. कृष्णः इज़ सेइंग ऑल स्टेट्स ऑफ बीइंग बी दे ऑफ गुडनेस पैशन और इग्नोरेंस आर मैनिफेस्टेड बाय माय एनर्जी. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of this material nature. So, difficult. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature. एचैव सात्विका भाव राजसः तामसश्चये मत एवेदि तान् विद्धि न त्वाहं तेषु ते मयि. सो Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, ఏచైవ సాత్విగా భావ రాజసస్ తామసశ్చయే మత్త ఏవేది తాన్విద్ది నత్వాహం తేషుదే మయి. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ దట్ ది ఏచైవ సాత్విగా భావం రాజసస్ తామసశ్చయే. సమ్టైమ్స్ వి థింక్ దట్ ఓన్లీ గుడ్ థాట్స్, గుడ్ ఎమోషన్స్ దట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ సైడ్ అస్, ఇస్ దట్ ద ఓన్లీ థింగ్ దట్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణ? దట్స్ ద క్వశ్చన్. Only the good emotions that comes in the form of love, mercy, compassion, they are the good emotions, isn't it? Are they alone comes from Krishna? No. Everything that comes from sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, everything Krishna says this comes from me. Even they are coming from rajogunam or tamogunam, even such emotions comes from Krishna, comes from Krishna. But even though it is like that, I am not in them. That is that statement. Echaiva satyuga bhavam rajasas tamasas chaye matta evedi tanvidhi natvaham teshute mai. Teshute mai. So, because if we hear that everything is coming from Krishna, then we will be happy. There is nothing more to say after that, isn't it? Good things and good thoughts, bad thoughts, they all come from Krishna. But Krishna is saying, I am not in any one of them. All of them are coming from me, but I am not present in any one of them. Everything comes from me. But for everyone, every thought hasn't got permission from me. He says, it comes from me. In everything, I am not there. In everything, I am not there. Example, Krishna says, for example, we dream in the night. The dream happens within us, isn't it? Dream happens within us. But actually, does the dream happens within us, if you think about it? We think the dream comes out, but the dream happens without our planning. Is it not? It happens within us, but not with our planning. Not with our planning. Similarly, sattvam, rajas, tamas, the three modes of nature are all happening. It appears as though it's happening in the soul, just like the dream. Dream is acting independently, isn't it? It's not planned dreams. Dreams just happens. In the same way, the three modes of nature also, it's not that we are planning anything, but it just happens. It will appear as though it's happening in the soul. But Krishna already made it clear, it's not there in the soul. Modes of nature are not present in the soul. Soul is completely free and independent. Although modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, is Krishna himself. So, one who has come to understand this, that the three modes of material nature is not present in the soul, but at the same time, the modes of nature are under Krishna's control, that person will know that these things are not present in the soul, but they are being controlled by Krishna. They are not present in the soul, but are being controlled by Krishna. In the earlier verses, if you can see, Krishna said, everything is me. Where he says, Echaiva satya bhava rajasas tamasas chaye matta evedi tanvidi na Tvaham Teshu Te Mai. On one hand, Krishna is saying there that I am independent, but I am not under the modes of this material nature. Modes of the material nature. So, Krishna is going back to that. Everything is me, but nothing is me. Everything is me, but I am not there in anything. I am not there in anything. I am present in there, but everything is not in me. I am present in them because of that it happens, but they are not in me. The three modes of material nature is functioning because Krishna is present in them. But the three modes of material nature is not in Krishna. It has no impact on Krishna. In other words, it has nothing to do with Krishna, but Krishna is present in them, therefore the modes of nature is functioning. Krishna is saying here, then Krishna also said that all the desires are coming from me. So where are the desires coming from? Krishna says, all the adharmam, irreligious desires, that's also coming from Krishna. But only thing what Krishna is saying here, though such desires will take us further and further into difficulty, into distress in life, onto troubles. And the after effect of all that will be very troublesome, very troublesome. So Krishna is saying here, the moment you fulfill, the proper way to understand that is, Krishna is saying, the moment you fulfill that desire, you will be free from that desire. Then it's okay. The moment you fulfill a particular desire, if you are free from that desire, then that is the way how to understand that. Quite often what happens? When we fulfill one desire, it creates another further desires to fulfill based on that. Like everything in this world is like that, isn't it? Whether it's sense gratification, whether it is desire for wealth, assets, on whatever way it is. Say in the stock market, if you are playing, you got some money, then next thing is you want to go further into it. More desires coming from, more to make more money from there. But that is not the proper. He says there, if you, moment you fulfill that desire, you should become free from that desire. That's the way to, then you can say that it is exhausting your karma vasana. Karma vasana is getting exhausted. In other words, any desire, what that has, you have achieved, fulfill that desire, but at the same time, it leaves you completely. And that one is considered to be, that is that dharma aviruddha bodheshu. Then it is dharma aviruddha bodheshu. So, that means, anything what we have done, any work or any fulfillment of desire in this world, anything we do, and after that, if that desire has completely gone away from inside, that such a desire is not against the religious principles. That is how Krishna is explaining that. Dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. Such a desire. Otherwise, it will drive us to problems again. Drive us into more problems. So, because purpose of everything is that to get out of desiring. That is the goal. To get out of desiring. And if it happens through knowledge, it's good. If it happens through knowledge, it is good. Rather than through action. Desire, you can get rid of two ways. Either one through knowledge or one through action. If it happens through knowledge, it is the best. But there are certain desires in us which is very difficult to pull out through knowledge. It's not possible. It has to get exhausted through us. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Dharmam, that dharmam, which is, that will be, even that dharmam, which has to be experienced and released, even then Krishna says that that it should happen in a way that it should not create further desire. The goal is to free ourselves from desiring, because this desire will create ragadvesham. That is the problem. Ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, four things is material existence. Material existence definition is like that. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Ragam, dvesham, attachment and aversion. So, in order to avoid the ragadvesham, desiring has to come to a stop. Sanyasa comes to a stop. So, otherwise, and that has to happen through knowledge or through action. So, either we experience it and free ourselves from that. The amount of desires that gets exhausted through experiences, few, not many. Not many. Because normally, most of the desires, the problem is that if you try to execute, fulfill that through action, it will be like pouring the ghee into the fire. It will create more desires after that. That is the problem with that. So that's why preferably through knowledge is better. Preferably knowledge through better. So, so those who are situated in the platform of knowledge, what is called Jnana Nishtha. There are people, you know, remember Krishna mentions this, isn't it, in the third chapter, that Logesmin Dvidha Nishtha Pura Prokta Mayanaha Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. This Jnana Yogam and Karma Yogam is the only two processes for realizing the truth, self-realization. Bhakti Yogam is not mentioned there. Why is that? There is no such thing called Bhakti Yogam. Bhakti Yogam is a part of Jnana Yogam, part of Karma Yogam as well. It's required for both for Jnanam and for Karma. Bhakti is necessary. So separately as a Bhakti Yogam itself is not spoken there in that original statement from Krishna. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Jnanam is also, eventually you will realize it, Jnanam and Bhakti is not different. And the same way, Karma Yogam also, when it gets to one stage, Bhagavata Dharmam is practically Karma Yogam, but that's also Bhakti in another form. Practically, there is no difference between Jnanam, Karma, Bhakti, like the way we put them into tables and charts. That doesn't exist really. But because we have, for clarity purposes, it is spoken in that way. So, Jnana Nishtha, or one who has got Jnana Nishtha. Jnana Nishtha means one who is situated in the knowledge. Or Taponishtha, one who is situated in the tapas, austerities. Such people, and those who realize that their body and the mind is completely under Krishna's control, or it has become more like that Krishna is operating through them. As far as they are concerned, with such people, some of their desires will be exhausted through experience, because they don't have any selfish motive in there. This is the reason behind it. Selfishness is the one causes all the problems. Our own interest, always separately from Krishna, we have our own interest. And when we try to fulfill that, the problem comes from there. So, so such a thing, because they, such personality who are situated in knowledge and who are situated in tapas, such personality, their desires are not selfish. That's always for the welfare of the others. Therefore, welfare of the others. Once, very advanced in spiritual realization, he said that once he felt a desire to have a nice shawl to cover himself, nice shawl, and so he told somebody, "Give me a shawl. Let me wear it and see what it's like." He wore it. After a while, he told his own mind that this is what wearing the shawl means. What you get from that, and he handed over the shawl back. And fulfill that desire in that way. That means if such a desire, powerful desire comes inside, sometimes if we are so much in the knowledge, then it is possible that that desire can get exhausted in that way. So, if we may think that it is possible for everyone to do that, it's possible for everyone, but you will notice if you try to do like that, you will become victimized by that. All desires are like that. This is where knowledge comes in. as much as we try to fulfill any desires, we become a slave of that desire. We become a slave of that desire. The desire is not our slave. We become a slave. Any weakness, it is very difficult to, any weakness in us, which means in the form of desires, that will not go very easily from us. And if you try to exhaust it by fulfilling the desire, then you will get stuck in that. It's very difficult to come out of that. Only by Krishna's mercy alone that you'll be able to come out from that. Not by your own effort or by your intelligence. But somehow or the other, Krishna has to show the way to come out of it. You can always see that also. So, just like Krishna is saying, dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamam. Isn't it? So, which means that just like you, Arjuna did, Arjuna handed over the chariot to Krishna and told him to drive the chariot. In the same way, if we hand over the body and the mind to Krishna and to drive in that way, then these desires won't cause any problems. They will go. That is knowledge. Knowledge means that. Able to hand over everything to Krishna and allowing Krishna to get the work done whichever way it happens through us. So, in that process, in the natural way, whatever Krishna has decided and whatever the results come, whether it is happiness or distress, if you experience in that consciousness, then it will not do any harm for the jiva. Jiva won't get disturbed or in trouble because of that. If with this full consciousness, if one accepts that, whatever karma is happening in life throughout, Krishna has put it through us, and without having any ownership that I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, if one can accept every karma and its result that Krishna has pushed through this body and the mind, if we can accept it that way, then the jiva will escape from the reactions from that. So, on the other hand, if one makes his own selfish desires and selfish plans based on that, he will never come out of it. That is the secret in there. So, whatever is a person who is surrendered to Krishna, and by Krishna's arrangement, whatever desires are coming in that way, that means one has to be completely surrendered to Krishna. That is the principle behind it. So you can see, surrender is bhakti. So in order that the knowledge also to manifest in a person, bhakti is necessary. In the presence of bhakti, that knowledge can be applied in life. Otherwise not. So, for the knowledge to manifest in a person, bhakti is necessary. Surrender means bhakti. So, if we keep on living a life like that, in a surrendered state all the time, whenever actions happens through us, accepting that it is Krishna has put me in that position, not to make too many plans all the time in life, that is a sign of avidya. Avidya is where it is coming from. They are continuously making plans for the future, long-term planning, short-term planning, all kinds of things. But to accept life as it comes, and Krishna has created that situation, given me that situation today, I will live in that state, and whatever results come from that, not making any complaints about it. And in that surrendered state, if one he lives, then this knowledge will develop and vasanas won't develop again in that person. And he will himself free from that state. Dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. So, all the desires that are coming, they are in three modes. In sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. Goodness, passion and ignorance. So, you can see no human being is free from that. Nobody is free from that. Now, we have read Bhagavad Gita. We are reading Bhagavad Gita. Is it possible to live perfectly according to Bhagavad Gita's instructions? That's not possible because we have so many weaknesses within us. So, Srimad Bhagavatam also, if you look there, you will see the whole Bhagavatam was spoken to talk about the knowledge. But when they have spoken Bhagavatam. When Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, he has taken into account all our weaknesses while presenting the different personalities in the Bhagavatam. He has taken into our weaknesses. That's why you will notice there that Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti. Uti means Karmavasana. Karmavasana. The seventh canto of Bhagavatam is called Uti. Uti means Karmavasana. Karmavasana. Uti means Karmavasana. Karmavasana means Karmavasana means at different times you can notice even great personalities, they also got affected by that. This Karmavasana. They also got affected by that. Nobody is free from that. So in order to show that to us, that under the three modes of material nature, anything can happen to anybody. It's not that just because we read Bhagavad Gita, everything is going to be perfect from now on. It's not going to happen. Bhagavatam was completely spoken, taking into account all our weaknesses in that sense. So, just like you can see here, example, Didi Devi. Didi Devi went to Kashyapa Prajapati, isn't it? In the third canto, you know that story of Didi Devi and Kashyapa Prajapati. From unusual way, Didi Devi approached Kashyapa Prajapati for a union. And from that union, the two big demoniac personalities came, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Kashyapa Prajapati at that time warned Didi Devi. It was Sandhya time, evening, twilight, isn't it? Sandhya time, which is not proper for any such activities. So, Kashyapa Prajapati says to Didi Devi, don't you know it is Sandhya time? It is Sandhya time. So, this is the time that Lord Shiva travels on the bull, Nandi, and see what's happening. People are following the, properly practicing the spiritual activities or not. That's the time meant for that, Sandhya hours, isn't it? So, and at one point, Kashyapa Prajapati, because he was so powerful, he showed to Didi Devi, see, look that, Shiva is going on the bull, can you not see? And Didi Devi looked and saw that. In spite of all that, Didi Devi did not think about it. She should have thought about it, but she didn't. So, she saw Lord Shiva completely covered in ashes, wearing the elephant skin, that is the Lord Shiva's dress, wearing the elephant skin. And Bhagavatam says, Shiva is looking at you and smiling at you, seeing your way the mind is working. What it says is, Shiva bhojanam swalpa tayoba lalidam. It says in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, you will see there, swalpa bhojanam, Shiva bhojanam swalpa tayoba lalidam. So, Didi fell into that trap, fell into the trap. Because naturally you can see that desire has come from Rajogunam in Didi. Rajogunam in Didi. So Kashyapa Prajapati told him, because of that, the after effect of that will be two very powerful demoniac personalities will come because of that. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Now why this has happened? That is there, that's called Niyati. That is Niyati. That means destiny. Destiny has happened in that way for Didi Devi. Didi Devi desired, in spite of being warned by Kashyapa Prajapati, and she knew what is dharma, still that guna, modes of nature, overpowered her. It's one of the examples for that. In spite of the fact that Didi Devi knew what is dharma, she is the wife of a great personality, Kashyapa Prajapati, isn't it? She knew what is right. And she also knew that at that time Lord Shiva is present he observes things. And in the Bhagavatam it says that Hasandiyasya charidam hi durbhagaha swalpan radasya vidushasami hidam yair vastramalya bharana nulepanehi Shiva bhojanam swalpa tayoba lalidam. He says, Hasandi yasya charidam hi durbhagaha. That he says that Hasandi is smiling. He's smiling at you. Shiva is smiling at you. Durbhagaha. Most unfortunate you are. Most unfortunate you are. He's not still coming to her sense. She is not able to. Svalpan ratasya abhidusha samihidam. That knowledge is not manifesting in you, in spite of the fact that Diti Devi says, yes, I agree, but I just have to have this union with you now. She insists on that at that time, which is quite extraordinary in the sense, even this is what happens in life also, isn't it? Happens to all of us. So, Ayur Vastramalya Bharananulepana Ishwabhojanam Swalmatayopalalidam. That you are feeling that desire to fulfill that desire so powerfully, that is nothing but destiny. That destiny has, in other words, you can see the modes of nature has overpowered her. Rajogunam has taken over control. So, but afterwards, when she realized that it was such a wrong thing to do, she fell at Kashyap Prajapati's feet and asked for forgiveness for what she has, that she has crossed the boundary of the principles of religious life. And if personalities like her, who is so high in the creation, if it can happen to them, you can see our difficulties also in executing our own daily life. We go through the same situation. But when Diti Devi fell at his feet and asked for forgiveness, he said to them that, never mind, I can't do anything about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. What will happen is, in their next, that means the next generation, there will be a great personality who will take birth. There will be a great personality who will take birth. And that is Prahlada. Prahlada will appear. So, straight away, this first generation will be like this, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, but the next one will be a great devotee as well. So that pacified Diti Devi a lot. Diti Devi felt happy. At least there will be a great devotee who will appear in the same family. So, sometimes we become victimized by Rajogunam. Sometimes we become victimized by Tamogunam, also in the same way. Even great personalities, this happens. It's not something we should always curse us. We should never curse ourselves. Oh, this has happened to me. And that is a big principle in spiritual life. That when the modes of nature are very powerful, and when sometimes things happen in life, it's important not to curse. Because, we'll tell you why. Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Sattugunam will come and go all the time in a person. In a person, they'll come and go. Even for great personalities, it does happen. So, you can remember, Yudhishthira Maharaj was a great personality, isn't it? He was a great personality. And even him, he got infected by Tamogunam in one stage. He got in. And what happened? He felt the desire to gamble. He felt the desire to gamble at that time. Because when the Tamogunam got into the head, he started justifying it, saying that it is the duty of the king to play the to gamble if he is challenged by somebody. That is Yudhishthira Maharaj's justification for that, to engage in gambling. He justified it saying that I'm a Kshatriya, and if somebody challenges me, it's my duty to engage in the gambling. He says like that. So, and his name is, he says there at that time, that it is the dharmam of the king, Kshatriya kings. That's why he says, he explains that. So, where that is knowledge is gone? Dharmam, adharmam. Where did that knowledge go? What does dharmam means? That's where the question comes. Dharmam means, what is good for the world, that is dharmam. What will bring auspicious to the world is dharmam. That's why you will see the statement, satyam vada dharmam chara. You should speak the truth and you should stay in the path of dharmam. Swadhyaya pramadaha. That one should engage in swadhyayam. That is all dharmam. But what happens in life, you can see, although we know the standard of dharmam, dharmam, religious principles, what it says, satyam vada, we should speak the truth. Dharmam chara, we should stay in the path of religious principles. Swadhyaya pramadam, pramadaha. That we should follow the shastram strictly, and that is the dharmam also. But what happens to us, as soon as we take up a profession somewhere, any profession for that matter, accordingly you have to engage in certain activities what they will call as etiquette. Say you got into some job where there is parties and socializing and everything, naturally you will have to get involved in that, and they will drag you into, they will insist that you have to become a part of that, that social, social setup, whatever that may be. If you start saying that this is my dharmam, then what can we do? Many people are doing that because they will say in that particular society it is required like this. Otherwise it's not correct. It is the etiquette, they say like that. But what normally happens is in the name of that they will get stuck in that for a long period of time. All nonsense they will have to do, and they will give a justification for that later, saying that the job requires this. And so similarly, people like Dharmaputra, Didusha Maharaj also, and this darkness got into his head. This darkness got into his head. And he started thinking that it is the duty of the king to engage in gambling. This is how it happened to him. So the after effect of that was the war. After effect of that was the war. Mahabharata war happened, the after effect of that gambling. He couldn't. So even if a Kshatriya king is invited, that doesn't mean that knowing very well the after effect, he should have refrained from doing that. But he didn't do that because Tamogunam has influenced him at that time. Krishna says to him, there was once it so happened, that why Janamejaya asked this question? That means Parikshit's son is Janamejaya. Janamejaya asked Krishna, why did you not protect my grandfather, Dharmaputra, at that time from that gambling? Why did you not help him? He said. Krishna says that I was ready, but he was not ready. I gave him a chance. Actually, Duryodhana said, Duryodhana was clever. He said that I can't play. I'm not good at that. I can't play. But my uncle will play, Shaguni. He will play, he said that. Now, in the same way, Yudhishthira could have said that I was waiting there, saying that Krishna will play, I won't play. But he didn't do that. You know, I'll do it. That was the attitude. That was Yudhishthira's attitude. He says, I was waiting there, ready to get involved. And in one move, everything would have been finished, Krishna is saying there. In the Mahabharata, he says that, I was ready, but what can I do? And his tamogunam, that tamogunam inside, has manifested in the form of false ego, ahankaram inside. And he says that, no, I will play. He didn't even think about it. Actually, Yudhishthira Maharaj could have escaped from that situation, like Duryodhana did. He used Shaguni for that. And similarly, Yudhishthira could have asked Krishna to play, but that didn't happen. So that discrimination didn't come at that time, the right thought didn't happen inside. He thought that I am doing my dharma. As a Kshatriya king, I am doing my dharma. He was thinking like that, and that you can see afterwards Yudhishthira Maharaj crying about it. Later on, after the war was over, he says, because of me this war has happened. You know, in the Bhagavatam that part is there, lamenting about it. And even after that stage, many people advised him about it. Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke to him. Krishna spoke to him. It's there in the Bhagavatam. And Yudhishthira won't listen. In spite of everybody advising him that the war was perfectly justified. But Yudhishthira started lamenting. He was the cause of the war, going and playing that gambling against them. And it started from that. And after the war was over, he is crying, lamenting about it. That because of me, so many millions of people got killed in this war. So many women have without husbands, so many children without parents. All these kind of things, he was talking about it. And he started blaming Krishna for that. In the Bhagavatam, you will see, he was blaming Krishna that you did not negotiate properly with them. And this has happened. In this way, everything happened. So at that time, Yudhishthira was, everybody, Bhima, Arjuna and others tried to cool him down, pacify him. He won't listen. Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke to him. He also won't listen. Arjuna said to Krishna, why don't you speak Bhagavad Gita to him and make him, bring him down? Krishna says he won't listen. He won't understand now. And ultimately what happened was that Vyasa spoke, Vedavyasa spoke, Krishna spoke, it will work. And ultimately, you know that they had to take him to Bhishma. And Bhishma had to speak to him. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj has already decided that I won't listen to Krishna. I won't listen to Vedavyas. Already in his head, he has come to this conclusion. And he has decided and kept it that I will only take it from Bhishma. Therefore, some people are like that. Many great personalities, even they have prejudice and bias. They also have. It's not that they are free from that. We may think that why Yudhishthira didn't hear from Krishna? Why did he not hear from Vedavyas? They also have their own prejudice inside. So where is it coming from? It's a nature. In human nature is like that. Human nature is like that. Just like a small black spot had happened even in the sun. Similarly, great personalities also will have some black spots in them sometimes. In the same way, you can also see sometimes some personalities with a very bad track record, very, very cruel and very dishonest and cunning, they will act in a very noble way in this world. They will surprise you sometimes, like that. It's very difficult thing to evaluate a situation with people. You can't take anything for granted in this world that a person will act in a particular way. Sometimes very religious people like Yudhishthira Maharaj can go in that route, and the opposite way also is true. Very bad people in that way, very people who acts with a lot of ego and lot of obstinate and very stubborn people, sometimes they can also act in a very noble way. You can see that when Vasudev took the children to Kamsa, Kamsa felt like that all these children are not going to give me any trouble. Why should I kill them? Kamsa was start speaking as though he's a very divine personality. He started talking at that time. So he says to him, Dushtanam Abhideva Pushtakarunam Drashtahi Dire Gatha. It says that Dushta means the people with such tendencies, bad persons in other words, they can also sometimes act in a very nice way, very cultured way. So Dushta or bad person is, nobody is completely bad, and this bad person is only one side of that person, and nobody is completely good. Nobody is completely bad, nobody is completely good, because the modes of nature is working in everybody. It's very difficult to take somebody is always good and say that somebody is always bad. That's the wrong thing to say about anyone. So what will happen is that you will see in the Bhagavatam when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini and Krishna was driving back. Rukmini's brother Rukmi followed Krishna to fight, to get the Rukmini back to the palace again. So what did they do? Krishna stopped Rukmini, cut his hair and shaved him half and left him look a very awkward way and put Rukmini in a very awkward way. At that time, Balram came and told Krishna, what have you done? Balram is chastising Krishna. What have you done? You married Rukmini, that's okay. And who is Rukmini? That means he is a brother-in-law, isn't it? And you are doing this to him. You are doing this to him. And he instructed Krishna on religious principles, dharma, at that time. So you know what Krishna decided at that time? The very Balram who spoke dharmam to Krishna got confused later. What happened later? And that same Balram and Rukmi got together and they had to gamble, and they had to get involved in the gambling, where Balram got offended by Rukmi. Rukmi took the plow and hit on his head and killed him. So where is the earlier, only a few days before, that Balram was saying to Krishna that, oh, he's your brother-in-law, you can't behave like this. Now, where is that gone now? The very next minute, the whole thing has changed. Situation has changed. And Krishna is smiling. Talking about dharmam. Talking about dharmam. So, so at that time, when Balaram told him, are you doing this to your brother-in-law, what you have done now? And at least you should give him a value. He's a human being. You should treat him in that way, he says. So Krishna smiled at that time. And you may think that why Krishna has done like that at that stage. And he has insulted him so much. And when Balaram and Rukmi fought each other after drinking Varuni, and that's when they decided to play, isn't it? So why all these things are mentioned in the Bhagavatam? That's what's more important, isn't it? That nobody can stay perfect in any state. It's not possible. So all kinds of different moods will manifest in the human being. Sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. These three things, as long as it's there in the material nature, it will manifest in the human nature, human body. It will manifest in the human body. So, no living entity has been created purely in the mode of goodness. Nobody has been created so far. And it will never be like that. Sometimes Sattugunam will be higher, and Rajogunam and Tamogunam will be less. And sometimes Rajogunam will be higher and Sattugunam and Tamogunam will be less. And sometimes Tamogunam will be higher the other way. Sattugunam and Rajogunam will be less in this way. But you will always notice one thing. All the three modes will be present in everybody, all times, in everyone, all the time. So what has happened then is that one who has realized the truth, self-realization has happened to a person, what he will do is, he also has got these three modes of nature in him, but he will realize that none of them will has any effect on his soul, on the self. Because he has realized the self, he will realize he has realized the self, but he is conscious that the three modes of nature is not touching me. It's not touching me, and he will be situated in that state. That is what happens to Tattvajnani. And such a person Krishna calls in the Bhagavad Gita is Gunatitan, one who has moved beyond the three modes of material nature through Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam means to remember in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam also Krishna says that, isn't it? Jivasya Tattvajnasa. That through realization of the Tattvam, he stays in that state all the time. That is why Krishna says here that these three modes, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, they are in me, but I am not there. I am not in them. I am not in them. This is the same situation for a self-realized soul also. Like Krishna is saying, the three modes of material nature are in me, but I am not in them. That state of consciousness. Jnani also is like that. Three modes of nature are present in him. In that body, it is present there. But he is not in that. That means he is not touched by that. Because why? He is situated in the platform of the soul. Yeah, just like Krishna. Krishna is situated on the platform of the soul. Therefore, all the three modes of nature are present there, but he is not there in that. Krishna is not present in them. Krishna is present in the all three modes of material nature. But three modes of material nature are not present in Krishna. That is that verse is saying. That verse has to be understood that way. Otherwise, it will confuse people, isn't it? Rajasas echaiva sattvika bhavam rajasas tamasaschaye matta evedi tan vidhi natvaham teshu te mai. Natvaham teshu te mai. I am not under the modes of material nature. Now, you can take it in this way that Krishna is not, when Krishna is saying this, we have to also understand that it's spoken purely from the platform of the soul, isn't it? Krishna is speaking purely from the platform of the soul. So when self-realization happens to a person, after self-realization, he is also in the same state. Three modes of material nature is present, but he is not affected by that. He is in the, because Tattvajnanam has happened to him. He has realized the truth. So therefore, modes of nature cannot touch him anymore. But he is present in the modes of nature. Like Krishna is saying here, that the, in other words, in a realized soul, in his body and in the mind, or in other words, in his upadhi. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence and everything. There you will notice these three modes of nature. In his body, in his mind, in his intelligence, you will see the three modes of nature. But you won't see that in him. Means in his spiritual identity, in the soul. Because he is situated on the platform of the soul. Platform of the soul. So, it will not affect his swarup. It will not affect his swarupam, his identity. Or his knowledge is not affected by that, by the three modes of nature. For most of ordinary people like us, what happens? Modes of nature influence us, isn't it? And we lose our identity straight away. Say, lower modes of nature, when it affects us, what happens? We lose our identification with the soul completely. We get victimized by the lower modes of nature. But that knowledge, which is not affected by sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, and able to stay in that state, in that full knowledge of the chitshakti, in other words, satta chitta anandam, that pure chitshakti platform, such a person is situated in the platform of knowledge, completely in the platform of knowledge. You see, if we look at the soul is generally referred as Sachidanandam, isn't it? Satta Chitta Anandam. Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. That Satta Chitta Anandam is the nature of the soul. Out of that, Chit Shakti is the Jnanam, is the Jnana Margam. And the Ananda Shakti is the Bhakti Margam. The bliss is the Bhakti. The Chit is the Jnanam. So that is why this Jnana Margam and Karma Bhakti Margam has come like that. Bhakti is that bliss. What happens when the bliss is predominating, you are in the state of bhakti. When chit is predominating, you are in the state of jnanam, knowledge of the same soul. So, self-realized person, because his chit shakti is in a strong state, it will not be affected by the modes of material nature. By the modes of material nature. Similarly, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, all these three things are manifesting from Krishna. Manifesting from Krishna. But none of them has any influence on Krishna. None of them influence on Krishna. So these three modes of material nature, that is called Prakriti. And Krishna is saying here that Prakriti is the Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the base in which that Krishna says, Aham. Echaiva satyuga bhava rajasastam, echaiva satyugaha sattva nivrtaha bhavaha rajasaha rajo nivrtaha tamasaha tamo nivrtascha ye praninam so karma vasha atma ende bhavaha yatha samsarinaha. So, yatha samsarinaha. Samsarina means conditioned people, conditioned souls. Just like the Krishna is saying here, conditioned souls are affected by the modes of nature. I am not affected by the modes of nature. I am not affected by the modes of nature. Conditioned souls means our nature, for example, Krishna says that the Echaiva sattvika sattva nivrta bhava padartha Rajasa Rajo Nivrta, Tamasas Tapo Nivrtasa, Kejir Prani Nam, So Karma Vashad Jayande Bhava. In other words, Krishna is saying here that the Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, all these three modes of nature, when it infects an ordinary person, what happens to him? He has no knowledge at that time. Pure knowledge of the soul, he is not able to relate with the identity of the soul anymore. He gets victimized by that, particularly the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. It is not possible. In Sattvagunam, the advantage is that at least you can, there is a, some scope of understanding the truth. Self-realization is possible to happen in Sattvagunam. It is possible. But Rajagunam, Tamagunam, it's not possible. So, when a person, when we fall from our Swarupam, from self-realization, ordinary person, like conditioned souls as they say, they will get immediately victimized by the modes of nature. They lose their identity. And then we, what happens? When little Sattvagunam comes back to us, we think, oh, why did I act like that? Isn't it? People always ask this question, oh, I lost myself, I lost the control, I lost the temper, and then we apologize and all other things happens after that. Krishna's point is that a self-realized person will not, this will not happen to him. Reason being that if he has realized the truth, what his spiritual identity is, self-realization has happened to him, then even though the modes of nature are present in the body, mind, intelligence and everything, he is not present in them. He is present as the soul, present in the soul rather than in the body, mind and the... In other words, upadhi he has escaped. He has escaped from the upadhi. Upadhis he has escaped. Once you have escaped from the upadhi, then you are freed from the modes of nature. Modes of nature are always in the upadhi, not in the soul. This is the important point. Krishna has no upadhi. Therefore, upadhis, modes of nature cannot touch Krishna. Similarly, jnanis or realized souls also, upadhis cannot touch him. Because he is not present in the upadhi, he is in the soul. He is in the soul. That's what Krishna is saying here. That the... So, what does that mean? Krishna is saying there, I am not affected by them. I am not affected by them. That means I won't come under their control. Under the three modes of nature. And normally, that state is called nirgunam. Isn't it? Nirgunam, beyond the three modes of material nature, is called nirgunam. This word nirgunam, that means that state which is not affected by the three modes of nature. That's all it means. Nirgunam does not mean it has no quality. That's not what it means. Nirgunam means it's not affected by the three modes of material nature. People think nirgunam means, oh, it has no qualities. That's not what it means. Nirgunam means that state which is not affected by the three modes of material nature. Nirgunam samsara dosha bija pradana karanam nirgunam. That is how nirgunam is defined. Nirgunam means samsara dosha bija pradana karanam nirgunam. That nirgunam is that quality, that mode, which will not create material existence for you again. It will not sow the seed of material existence again. That is nirguna. Normally, three modes of material nature, what it does? It engages us in karma, some kind of activity. Means karma vasana, means samsara, material existence again. Isn't it? Cycle of birth and death again. But nirguna means outside the three modes of material nature, and even if in that state, it will not create material existence again. That is nirgunam. That is nirgunam. Samsara dosha bija pradana karanam nirgunam. Samsara dosha bijam means what? Samsara dosham bijam means. Samsara means material existence. The samsara dosham is the distress that's coming from material existence. And the bijam, the seed of that. The seed of that. What is that seed? Ajnanam. Ignorance. Isn't it? Ajnanam. So, that knowledge which burns the ignorance in a person is called nirgunam. In other words, nirgunam state is that knowledge which burns the ignorance in a person, ajnanam in a person, that knowledge, jnanam, is called nirgunam. Not that it has no quality. So, so that manifestation of the soul, self-realization, means satta chitta anandam. That is the nature of the soul. That's the pure identity of the soul. So that manifestation or identity of the soul in that pattern of സത്ത് ചിത്ത് ആനന്ദം സച്ചിദാനന്ദം ഈസ് കോൾഡ് നിർഗുണം. സച്ചിദാനന്ദം ഈസ് ദി നിർഗുണം സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. സച്ചിദാനന്ദം സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി നിർഗുണം സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് നോ, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നെവർ ഇൻഫെക്റ്റഡ് ബൈ എനി ഓഫ് ദ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ, എനി ഓഫ് ദി മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ. സോ ഇസൈസിയർ ഏവം ഏവം ഭൂതാം അഭി പരമേശ്വരം നിത്യശുദ്ധ ബുദ്ധമുക്ത സ്വഭാവം സർവഭൂതാത്മാനം നിർഗുണം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് നിർഗുണം സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ നിർഗുണം സ്റ്റേറ്റ്? നിത്യശുദ്ധ ബുദ്ധമുക്ത സ്വഭാവം സർവഭൂതാത്മാനം, നിത്യം, എറ്റേണൽ. ദാറ്റ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഓഫ് എറ്റേണിറ്റി, ദാറ്റ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഓഫ് പ്യുവർ അൺടച്ച്ഡ് ബൈ ദ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ, ദാറ്റ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഓഫ് complete consciousness, pure consciousness, conscious all the time, buddham, and always freedom from the mukta swarupa, freedom from the cycle of birth and death, in other words. So when self realization happens to a person, what happens is nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupa, that comes. In other words, he does not anymore. Now we, in our conditioned state, we are concerned about rebirth, about death we are concerned, and we are also concerned about rebirth. And then from Shastram we understand that there is a chance that we may die again, and then we may take birth again. So the cycle of birth and death is very frightening to us in the conditioned state. But in the liberated state, that doesn't exist, because already Buddha Mukta Swarupam is. He knows that there is no such thing called death. He comes to that state. There is no such thing called death anymore. And therefore, because there is no death, there is no birth either. This is that state of existence in the realized state. That is what Krishna is saying here. That and Krishna says here that people do not know me, who is the cause of all this whole complex situations. They do not know me, and although all these things are happening in everybody, they do not know me. And that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. So in this verse, Krishna spoke about that relationship between modes of nature and Krishna. Modes of nature and Krishna. And in the realized state, how modes of nature withdraw from a person. When a person escapes from the modes of nature, how he will be. That's what is spoken in this verse. Isn't it? In this verse, if you look, Yajaiva Satvika Bhavam രാജസസ് താമസശ്ചേ മത്ത ഏവേദി താൻ വിദ്ധി നത്വാഹം തുഷുതേ മയി. ഐ എം പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ, ബട്ട് മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഇസ് നോട്ട് പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻ മീ. യു ഹാവ് ടു ഗെറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് വെരി ക്ലിയർ വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ്. ഐ എം പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ, ബട്ട് മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഇസ് നോട്ട് പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻ മീ. ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ആൾസോ ഫങ്ഷനിങ് ബിക്കോസ് ഐ എം പ്രസൻറ്റ് ദെയർ, ദെയർ ഫോർ ദേ ആർ ഫങ്ഷനിങ്. But they cannot have any influence on me. They are not present in me, in other words. Modes of nature has no influence on me. I am present in them, but they have no influence on me. For us, they are present in us, and they have all influence on us. Isn't it? So that's where the difference is. When self-realization happens, Krishna is saying that we come to a pure state, which is eternal, pure, conscious, and liberated, always. Cycle of birth and death has gone away from us, and we are always conscious of what we are, our pure identity, and we are always pure state of consciousness, and we are eternal. This consciousness comes back to us. We get that, we retrieve it back again. It's always there. It's always there. It's not that something new has to come from outside, but we get it back. We lose this identity with the modes of nature. So that's what Krishna is saying in the next verse. That the, if you look at the verse 13, what Krishna is saying, Traibir gunamayer bhaver ebhi sarvam idam jagan मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्य परमव्ययम् त्रैभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैर् एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्य परमव्ययम्. Translation: deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So, Tribir Gunamair Bhavair Ebhi Sarvam Idam Jagat Mohidam Na Abhijanadi Mam Ebhya Param Avyayam. So, Tribir Gunamair Bhave, this whole creation, Jagat, what is present in front of us, is under the control of the three modes of material nature. So, you will see there, Harinamagratanam says, Omkaram has changed into three forms. Satyuahangaram, Rajasahangaram, Tamasahangaram. It has taken into, Ahangaram has gone into these three forms, isn't it? So, this Jiva Handa, Jiva's Ahangaram, our false ego, that is, manifests in this creation in the way that Tribir Gunamayir Bhavayir, that three modes of material nature, Ebhi Sarvamidam Jagat, how is it present in this world in the form of Jiva Ahanda, Jiva's false ego? That is what that is. Ebhi Sarvamidam Jagat, Tribir Gunamayir Bhavayir. How does the three modes of material nature is present in this world in the form of false ego? In the form of false ego, Jiva Ahanda. And because of that, the Jiva Ahanda, false ego is inside, you can see the all living entities in this world are under that delusion. That I am somebody, I am something, I got this, I got that. All these things. So that delusion is in everybody, every living entity in this world. Because of the, Krishna is saying here, Tribir Gunamayir Bhavayir. That three modes of material nature, it is present in the form of ego, ahanda, in everybody. And in that ahanda, in delusion, we are living in this world. So, Krishna says here, Mohidam na abhijanadi. Because of that, he never comes to realize the truth. That is the ignorance in us, which is everyone is subjected to. Therefore, he never gets to know the truth. How he does not know? That Ebihi Param, he says, Ebihi Param. In other words, he will not know my nature, which is not affected by the three modes of material nature. Because of that, the three modes of material nature is present in this world throughout the creation in the form of false ego. In everyone. Everybody has false ego. Animals also have false ego. They also, even the worm has a false ego in it. What is false ego means? False ego means Jiva Handa, Jiva Hangaram. It is not the gross ego, like gross ego is when somebody is very proud and somebody is that I am the controller, what Krishna says in the 13th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Under the divine and demonic nature, there is, that is a gross level. But on a subtle level, all of us have ego, isn't it? What is that ego's nature? That ego's nature is that I am separate from Krishna. I have a separate individual existence, individuality in me. And I have some responsibility. I have some identity of my own. This is false ego in us. That's what is dictating to us in that way. To make us think all the time that I am somebody, I am something. And that won't go easily. It's not possible to wipe it off easily. So Krishna is saying here, in that state, it is as long as that is the nature of the three modes of material nature is present in us. That is the first That is what is basically the problem. Three modes of nature is present in us in the form of this false ego. So, because it is like that, it's impossible for the jiva to know my identity, Krishna's identity, which is not touched by any of these three modes. There are two different levels. Krishna's level is completely in the realized state of Satchitanandam. Pure Satchitanandam is Krishna. And we are under the three modes of Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Our identification is with these three modes of material nature. So, our attention is, because of that, is in the body, in the mind, and in our ego. That's where our attention is all the time, isn't it? In our body, in our mind, and also in my ego. That's where our attention. Every time when somebody talks to us, someone talks to any one of us in a very rude way, we get affected by that. Who is getting affected? The false ego is getting affected. Soul is not affected. The false ego is affected, isn't it? But we can say this, but and when it happens, we react straight away to that, isn't it? So, these things are present only in the personality level. Body, mind, false ego, this is our personality, isn't it? Personality is these three, body, mind and basically the ego. All these combined together is what we call personality. So, based on these three things, personality, we have got Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti also. Three states also comes from that. So, but this personality and this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, all of them is sustained by something else. Where is that? That is the Chit Shakti. From Chit Shakti, all these things have come. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states, based on our mind, body, intelligence, you can say, that's how, or the false ego. In all these, subtle body is affected by the three modes which have come from Chit Shakti. Adhishtanam is Chit Shakti. From Chit Shakti, modes of nature had come and it has completely influenced our mind, body, intelligence, ego, everything. Intelligence, ego, everything. So what is happening when self-realization happens to a person is his attention in the body, mind and the false ego has gone. Attention has gone to Chit Shakti, where it all came from, where it has come from. So, one who has given attention to that, for him, it is difficult for him to show attention to the modes of nature or Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In other words, for him, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is not a truth anymore. Or the three modes of material nature is also not any truth anymore for that person who has reached that state. And therefore, what Krishna says here, param avyayam. That param avyayam means that. Avyayam means that is avyayam. Avyayam means one never gets exhausted, never gets finished. Inexhaustible. Avyayam state is that. So, there is no damage can happen after that. In other words, it's complete. So, the reason why we are not giving attention to that is, just like now, a person, suppose you are watching a film on the screen, your attention is on the film all the time, isn't it? It's on the film. Therefore, you cannot see the screen. You cannot see the screen. And you are watching the cinema or the film and you are smiling and you are crying based on what happens in the movie. But who will give attention? When you are doing all that, who will give attention to the screen behind it? Nobody will give attention. So, because we have gone there to see the film, not the screen. So, therefore, we will see the film. And when we have seen the film and we are trapped in that film, Screen is not important. The film is important. Sometimes we smile, sometimes we cry. And that is what Krishna is saying, Mohidam Nabhijanadi. That word there, mohinam abhijanadi, that's what that means. This comparison to make it understand that the in a film, when you see what happens is, you watch, as long as you're watching the film, you don't care for the screen. What happens in the screen? Screen is not important. You are affected by the film, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is saying, the three modes of nature is the film. That's going on. And you are trapped in that three modes of nature, but you are not the screen behind it, which is Chit Shakti behind it, that you are not noticing it. When these three modes of nature goes away, you see the Chit Shakti behind it. And at that time, you will see that the film is not genuine. Film is not the truth. So, that's why sometimes we can see the film stars, they influence people a lot, isn't it? In the film stars, they influence a lot. And we take the cinema so seriously, or the film so seriously, that some film actors, if they act so nicely in a nice role in the film, people become affected by that. So much captivated by the film. In the similarly, three modes of nature also is like that. And there are people who consider some of the film actresses as though they're so good as God, in that sense. So, and some of them, they've utilized it very well. They utilize the cinema to come to the to win their votes in the election, using the cinema as a medium. They become very famous actors, and then they stand for the election, they won. India, best example. Nowhere else I think it happens like the way it happens in India, with the film actors getting elected so freely everywhere, all the right from Kashmir to Kanyakumari. It's the same story. That is what Krishna is saying here. Mohidam nabhi janadi. Mohidam nabhi janadi. So, so what happens is, if you keep on watching this cinema, it becomes the authority for everything later. And when your attention is all on the cinema, the adhishtanam, or the basis of that, is not serious anymore. You're not concerned about it. Trabir gunamayer bhavayer. He says, Trabir gunamayer bhavayer. Gunamayam. Gunamayam means sattvam, rajas, tamas. These are the gunamayam. Trabir gunamayer bhavayer. So, while watching this film also, these three things are there. Sattvam, rajas, and tamas is there. Sometimes you see a lot of love, feeling, good feelings, good affection. And sometimes there's fighting going on in the film. Sometimes you will get bored with the film. Sometimes a lot of talk going on in the film, not making any sense. You fall asleep. All these things happen. So the same three modes of nature happens when you are watching the film also. Isn't it? Sometimes you see something, some nice feelings shown in the film. You get affected by that. Sattvam. Or sometimes a lot of fighting, Rajogunam, you observe that in the film. And sometimes there's something going on which you're not much interested, you go into Tamogunam, you fall to sleep. So Sattvarajasa Tamasa is present there also. This modes of nature is a very interesting topic to study. You can see, when you get a better clarity of the modes of nature, how much misled we are in this world under the modes of nature. Generally I'm saying, among the people's relationship in this world also, you will notice, normal tendency is somebody showing to you some love and affection, you will also reciprocate. You will say, oh, he's such a nice person, he is so good to me, he is so kind to me. And this way we will judge people, isn't it? It's quite natural in the world, it's quite common like that. Suppose somebody is not giving any attention, doesn't care, with independent nature, you think, oh, he doesn't care anyway, why should I bother? That attitude also comes. But this is where modes of nature is cheating us. Normally what happens is, some people in this world, they'll show you affection, they will love everything, attachment, everything. And if any little thing happens in their life, they will put the knife. They'll put the knife. And there are other people in this world who will do the right thing. What is good for you, they will do. They won't show you affection, but they'll do the right thing at the right time. So that is hitam. The other one is coming from blind love. So intelligent person will go with the person who is doing the right thing at the right time, rather than one who is supported by the... Just like it's quite common, isn't it? In all organizations, everywhere you will see, it's a survival game. What do you do there? Without any ethics values, you will start seeing the cliques, what's working there, and you'll fall into one of those groups to survive there. But what has happened then is that you are going after that because you get the support from some people, you follow that road. But you are not following the right thing at that time. Hitam is important, not sneham. Sneham is dharmam. Dharmam is actually sneham. But we forget that. We completely fall into the bodily modes of nature and we get victimized by that. So Krishna is saying here that the because you are captivated by the sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, and you get attracted by the object, you do not come to know about the soul, about your surupam. You never come to know. Maam ebhya param avyayam. These words, we have to look at it in the background of the modes of nature very much. All these verses. Because quietly Krishna is talking about, this is knowledge of the absolute, isn't it? He is talking about the next verse also about the modes of nature. How powerful these modes of nature are. And in the process of self-realization, if we have not learned about these modes of nature, it can become a gross problem for us. It can become a gross problem for us. So, this is why this word, you know, transcending comes. Transcendental, we say, isn't it? Transcending. So, beyond these three modes of nature, or transcending the modes of nature, Krishna is saying, unless you transcend, you won't come to know about my nature, Krishna's nature. Maam ebhya param avyayam. Param nature, the supreme nature, avyayam nature. Avyayam means inexhaustible or which does not have any destruction. That is the nature. Everything under the modes of nature is not eternal. It is changing. And it is also subjected to happiness and distress. So that nature which is not affected by the three modes of nature, and when we go deep level, in a much deeper level within ourselves, and when we start realizing our identity, we will notice at that time that all the problems with this body, or the defects in this body, or the defects in our mind, or the defects in our intelligence, none of them is touching the soul. None of them is touching the soul. At the moment, what's happening to us? When we have some problems with the body, we identify with that problem straight away. Isn't it? Suppose we get sick, we get identified with that sickness, whatever sickness that is. Similarly, if any disturbances comes in the mind, we identify with that. Similarly, with the intelligence also. But this identification with the body, mind and intelligence is due to the three modes of material nature. So, but when we come to realize that this state of self-realization, Krishna talked about in these two verses, Traibir Gunamayer Bhaver Ebi Sarvam Idam Jagat. Jagat is full of that understanding, but Mohinam Na Abhijanadi Mamebhya Paramabhyayam. Because he is stuck in these three modes of nature under the body, mind and intelligence, it is not possible for them to understand me. When Krishna says me, means the superior nature of the soul. We cannot understand it because of that. That is the problem. In other words, the three modes of material nature, when they have infected us like this and we are conditioned by them, it is not possible to understand the spiritual nature of our own spiritual nature, which is the chit, what we've talked about before. So there, that shanti, peacefulness, or purnada, completeness, and that one, and also kartrutvam of the I am the doer, and bhoktrutvam, I am the enjoyer, or you can say that kartrutvam is in the body, gross body. Kartrutvam is in the gross body. Bhoktrutvam, enjoyment, is in the subtle body. Enjoyment is in the subtle body. If not, if not, the third state, causal body, where you are not, kartrutva bhoktrutvam is not there, but sleep has infected there, isn't it? In the deep sleep state, where you are in the causal body, karana shariram it is called, this is sthula shariram. Sthula shariram is infected with the kartrutvam. Sushma shariram, subtle body, is infected with the bhoktrutvam, enjoyership. Karana shariram inside, which is neither having kartrutva bhoktrutvam, is infected by deep sleep, isn't it? So you are still under the grip of tamogunam. Sattugunam in the vacant state, rajogunam in the dream state, and tamogunam in the deep sleep. So the three modes in the three states, jagrat, svapnam, sushupti. Kartrutvam in the vacant state, bhoktrutvam in the dream state. That's basically what you are experiencing there is bhoktrutvam, enjoyership of the various things, karma what we have performed sometime before or something that we have vasanas created. That bhoktrutvam is the predominating power in the dream state, not kartrutvam. Bhoktrutvam is powerful in the dream state. Kartrutvam is powerful in the vacant state. And deep sleep is powerful in the deep sleep state. Tamogunam is powerful in the deep sleep state. So, but none of this touches even the minute level to the consciousness inside, which is standing as a witness to everything. Which is standing as a witness to everything. Bhodham, avbhodham. So, chitshakti, which is the avbhodham, that bhodham, sandra, ananda, avbhodham, that avbhodham inside is never touched by any of these things. Any of these things. What is happening? So Krishna is saying here that when we comes to know what our real identity is, then we will know that we are completely liberated from everything. Avyayam. Krishna says the avyayam. Param avyayam. Then, once you have come to know that, chit shakti, chit realization, then the three modes of material nature will not create that delusion in us. So long as we do not know that chit shakti, these three modes of nature will definitely cause the influences. And that is why Krishna is saying here with the greatest compassion, he says here that because of the influence of three modes of material nature, unfortunately, the living entities never get to know me. In a way, Krishna puts it like that. Says, Tribir Gunamayar Bhavir Ebhi Sarvam Idam Jagat Mohidam Na Abhijanadi Mam Ebhya Param Avyayam. That deluded, because of that, this is the delusion. Delusion is this. What is the delusion? The three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. That is the delusion. And that is present in us in this way. How? In the form of kartrutvam in the vacant state, in the form of bhoktrutvam in the dream state, and in the form of deep sleep in the tamogunam in the deep sleep. So because of that, they do not get an opportunity to know me in either of the three states. That's the point Krishna is making here. So this chapter particularly, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, three modes of material nature Krishna is discussing. You can see this in our body, in our mind, in the world outside, in all over, you can see the game these three modes of nature is playing. You can observe this. There is nothing in this world which is not touched by the three modes of material nature. But the only thing that stays untouched by the three modes of material nature is the soul, the spiritual soul, the spiritual spark, the soul. Everything else, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, three modes will come and go. And there will be an impact of that in a gross level as well as in a subtle level. Sthulam and sthulam in a gross level and sushmam. In a subtle level, it will have its effect and will keep on happening all the time. How do we know that? Because when sattugunam comes, what happens? immediately bhakti comes, develops inside, knowledge develops, meditation comes, spiritual desires develops inside. This is a symptom of satugunam. Satugunam comes. When rajogunam comes, what happens? Action goes into action straight away. Ryagam, attachment, aversion, and desires. All these are the nature of rajogunam. When tamogunam comes, what happens? Sleep and a dullness and ignorance, all that takes over. So you can see that very well in this, our own, we look at ourselves, how they keep coming and going. How they keep coming and going. So when the satugunam is strong, they say like this, that even in the Ayurvedam they say like that. Satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is based on that vadam, pittam, kapha, air, bile and mucus. They classify like that. They're also based on the three modes of nature only. So rajogunam is powerful, then lot of mucus in the body, they say. Ayurvedam says like that. And bile is because of excessive tamogunam. Excessive tamogunam. So this is in the body and the mind and three levels. And all these three things will influence our thoughts as well. Influence our thoughts as well. So therefore, we can only see the things what is outside, external to us. When we are in the tamogunam, we will find attraction for tamasic things, tamasic topics. We'll find it interesting. When there is the tamogunam is strong in us. Similarly, when rajogunam is strong in us, that all rajasic things we'll find attractive. You can see also that. Similarly, sattvic things, mode of goodness, topics will be attractive to us when we are in the satugunam. Satugunam is powerful. That is quite easy to understand, isn't it? When rajogunam is very powerful, you will see that you will immediately spring into action straight away. And all kinds of desires will build up very strongly. I have to do this, I have to make so much money, this, that, and the other, all kinds of powerful. It will take over everything else. That is that rajogunam building up inside, influencing us. When tamogunam takes over, what happens? We'll find attraction to lie down, having a good sleep, and attraction in that way. And feeling kind of moroseness and dullness, everything. The tamogunam takes over. Similarly, when satugunam takes over, when we say take over means it becomes strong in us, what happens? Immediately you want to know some desire for realization, self-realization, spiritual life, all these things develops inside. Develops inside. So that's how. So, tamogunam is like that. Tamogunam comes, you feel some kind of unusual happiness from sleep. Unusual happiness you get from the sleep. And similarly, just like after a meal, you want to lie down, you want to have a rest, and all things like that. So, similarly, you can see in while hearing Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam also, you'll see. In sattugunam, you will hear in one way. In rajogunam, you'll hear in another way. In tamogunam, you'll hear in a different way. The same thing. So, it's not completely that what you hear that matters. In what mode you are hearing also matters. In what mode you are hearing also matters. When we hear in rajogunam, what will happen? You can see that the person's changes happens in a person. When you hear in rajogunam, what will happen is, you will, whatever that's been heard, you will start evaluating it not a nice way, in a negative way. If you hear in the tamogunam, you will hear and it will come and go. It won't even stay there. not even available for evaluation, in other words. Whereas in Sattvagunam, you will see the positive things from that for self-realization. You will accept it from... When, for example, even these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken, even if the translation when you read, depending on the modes of nature, you will accept it based on the modes of nature in which we are reading these verses. And similarly, while speaking also, in the modes of nature is strong, in tamogunam you won't feel much of enthusiasm to say anything else about it. Similarly, rajogunam you will say all wrong things about it. And in sattvagunam also, there is possibility that you will get a little deeper into the subject, understand it better. So, while this is in everyone, so you cannot judge anybody based on anyone's performance in that sense, because that modes of nature in that person has a strong effect on what he does and what he says also. So, you will notice this when you hear some people who are very advanced in spiritual life. When they speak with their closed eyes, they speak and you can see that pure sattvagunam coming from inside in their words. You'll observe that. You have to see those people who speak like that. So, but rajogunam and tamogunam in us present so strongly, therefore when we speak also it has its effect on that in our words, in our words. Similarly, the listener also, as well as the speaker, as well as the listener. So there's a problem there, always. This is what complicates the whole thing. Otherwise you can see in the classes, in everywhere you go, you listen to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all, you all come back with different understanding from the same class. Same class, we come out with different understanding. And somebody says, oh, it was very nice. And somebody else says, it was awful. Class is awful. They'll say like that. Why? Because of the modes of nature present in the speaker. Similarly, but this you can only observe when you see a speaker who was in a very high mode of goodness. When he speaks, you will see that bhakti, that knowledge, that realization from that person springing up from him. And that you have to observe yourself and you will notice that. And if you are in sattvagunam, you will get that greatest benefit from that person. That's because sattvar sanjayate jnanam. Only in sattvagunam jnanam will have any impact. That's why it says here. So, when sattvagunam is there, what will happen? We'll be enthusiastic and very vigilant and alert to hear everything. And if you are in the rajogunam, what will happen? You will be a little bit disturbed about everything, isn't it? You'll be disturbed over things. And if you, in the disturbed state, if you hear, what will happen? You won't catch the message. You won't get the message. Then you will go back and think about it. What does it mean? Or some thoughts will come up like that. And in tamogunam, you won't even hear it. That's what happens. In tamogunam, if you sit, you will sit, but you won't hear anything. In rajogunam, you will hear, but you will misunderstand everything. In sattvagunam, you will hear. It will have some impact on the person. So, all these three modes, Krishna is saying here, are obstacles in realizing the truth. Tribir gunamayer bhaver. All these three things, gunamayer bhaver, is we feel as though they are present in the screen. In the screen, that means in the soul. We feel like that. But actually, it is like a film, cinema. It is like a cinema. The three modes are coming in front of the soul. So that's why Krishna says here, Echaiva Satyuga Bhavam. Later on he will mention this in the 7th chapter. If you look, you will see in the 12th verse, I think, Krishna says there, Echaiva Satyuga Bhava Rajasas Tamasaschaye. Last verse. Matta evedi tan vidhi matvaham teshude mai. Matvaham teshude mai. Krishna says here that all these three know, Arjuna, that it is happening in me. In me. Matvaham teshude mai, but I am not there. They are in me, means it's happening in the soul, but soul is not in there. It's happening in the soul. It's happening for the jiva, isn't it? Jiva state, it is happening in the soul. But the soul is not present in there. Soul is not present in there. Krishna is not present. Krishna is saying it's happening in me. That means happening in the soul. But Krishna is not present in that. It cannot touch Krishna anywhere. All these are coming from me, but it does not affect the soul. All that is springing up from the soul, but they are not affecting the soul. It will only cover the intelligence. It only cover the intelligence. Krishna spoke that in the Bhagavadam also. Sattvam rajas tamaiti gunam buddheya na chalpana. It's only in the gunam. Then he says, Sattvam rajas tamaiti gunam buddheya na chalpana. Sattvam sattvena chayvahi. Rajas and tamas, we should overcome with sattvagunam, and sattvagunam we should get rid of with sattvagunam itself. That's the way. Rajas and tamas we should overcome with sattvam, and sattvam we should overcome with sattvam itself. Because only when sattvam gets strengthened, we will know that sattvam is also a thief. He's also a thief. Remember that story, the three thieves. A person was traveling through a forest, and there were three thieves there. They caught him and tied him down and put him there and stole everything from him. After some time, two of them gone away, and the third one untied him and took him out and crossed the border of the forest and released him and told him to go. So this person thought, though this thief is better than the other two. After all, he has released me. Although they have taken everything from me, they have released me. So he told him, why you want to do this thief's job? Why don't you come back with me to the country and live with me? He says, no, I am also one among them. I am also one among them. So similarly, Sattvagunam is like that. He is also a thief. He will take away everything. But Krishna says, Tribhair Gunamair Bhavair Mohidam Nabhijanadi. So he says here that he is also one who is affected by these three modes of nature. Such a person, even Sattvagunam also, he will get affected by that. If you look into the 14th chapter, look at the 14th chapter, because it's a chapter which deals with the three modes of material nature. And there Krishna will say this very clearly, that the, if you look at the verse, ninth verse, Krishna is saying there that the sattvam sukhe sanjayadi raja karmani bharata jnanam avrtyadu tama pramade sanjayityuda. Sattvam sukhe sanjayadi raja karmani bharata jnanam avrtyadu tama pramade sanjayityuda. The mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion conditions him to the fruits of action, and ignorance to madness. Ignorance to madness. So there you'll see that nidra or sleep or laziness, because of that tamogunam. And from rajogunam, what will happen? Rajogunam, you will want the results, isn't it? Rajogunam, desire for the results. Pramoda moha tapasaha. And sattvagunam also will develop attachment in us for happiness. There will be an attachment for that, for happiness. And rajogunam will develop attachment for karma. And tamogunam will develop attachment for laziness and sleep. And Krishna is saying here, all three of them, mohitam. Mohitam means how a magician mesmerizes us in the same way, or hypnotizes us in the same way. All these three modes of nature is continuously hypnotizing us. That is what Krishna is saying here. Because of that, what's happening? We don't see the truth as it is. We don't see the truth as it is. Reality, we don't see, come to know. So, in other words, we don't come to know. Mam na abhijanadi. We don't come to know about ourselves. We are spirit soul, but we don't come to know about it. In other words, the knowledge about ourselves is corrupted by these three modes of nature. That corrupted by the goodness, corrupted by the activity in passion, and corrupted by the laziness in ignorance, in tamogunam, These three corruptions are there in us, and the reason why we don't come to know who we are is because of these three modes of nature. Therefore, spirituality means freeing oneself from these three modes of material nature. So, Tribir Gunamair Bhaver Bhayedi Ragadvesha Mohadi Prakashehi Padartehi Prani Jadam Jagat Mohidam Avivegadam Apadidam. And because of that, Tribir Gunamair, what has happened is Ragadvesha Mohadi, he says here that the what happens is that Travir Gunamair Bhavir Gunavikare Ragadvesha Mohadi Pragarair Bhavai Padarthir Ebi Ethoktam Sarvam Idam Prani Jadam Jagan Mohidam Avivegidam Apadidam Sanna Abhijanadi Maam. Krishna is saying because of the influence of these three modes of material nature, what will happen is that the discriminative power inside cannot have any effect on him. We have the discrimination power inside, but that cannot work. That power what we have, that most, what do they call as the ability to discriminate what's right and wrong, that cannot function because of the modes of nature. Modes of nature take control of that. That mechanism of discriminative power in us, that is out of order. It is out of order. So because human body is known for discrimination, human life is meant for discrimination. And in human body, Krishna has given us the capability to for discrimination also, isn't it? According to Shastram, it is like that. We are called human body not because of the two hands, two legs and the size. It because of this discriminative power, we are called human body. Vivegam, Vivega Shakti it is called, ability to discriminate things. Remember, when Brahma created, he felt happiness in the human nature. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamava Deva, he says there. Brahmava Loka Dishana. What does Brahmava Loka Dishana means? Brahmava Loka Dishana means Brahma saw that in this human form, he is able to think about the absolute truth and go for self-realization. That is Brahmavalokadishana. Brahmavalokadishana means ability to realize the truth. Brahmavalokadishana. Udamava Deva. That gave happiness to Brahma when he created this human form, human body. And when he saw that, he gave this, so because he saw this Viveka Shakti. Viveka Shakti means this ability for discrimination in the human body. But Krishna is saying here that Viveka Shakti is not able to function properly because of these three modes of material nature. We say that we are human beings based on the body, but Shastram is saying one who has got that Vivekam, he is a human being. That name of Vivekam or discrimination itself is human body, it is called like Avivegadam Ahadinam means Vivekam should be for for this purpose, for realization only. But that Vivekam has stopped functioning at the moment. What's the reason? Satna Abhijanadi Mamebhyo Yathoktebhyam Gunebhyaha Param. Because these three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, they are stopping us to see our pure identity as the spirit soul. It is coming on the way. And because Krishna is saying, by nature we are avyayam. Avyaya means it, which is which cannot be touched by anything and which cannot be destroyed by anything. Janmadi sarva vikara varjitam ityartha. In other words, janmadi sarva vikaram. What is that? Birth, taking birth, growing, then changing, transformation happening, then death. All these things are defects, isn't it? All these things are defects. And we don't even know what defects we have got. These are the defects. There are parinamam, shad parinamam they are called. Six things happening. We take birth, we grow, then byproducts comes from that, and then stay, decay and death. Decay and death. So the six changes, what is happening in us, is only happening to the body, not to the soul. But what do we say? I'm getting old, I'm dying, I'm sick. All these identities are so strong in us, we never take soul into account any time, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here, that the defects, what happens in us, that everything is a defect, but when anything we get sick, say we get cold, or we get headache, or we get any fever, or cancer, or heart attack, whatever it means, this is all what we know. We only know these things. And we don't know that we are inside the prison house. We don't even know that we are inside the prison house. We are inside the prison house. We never say that, please release me from the prison. Please release me from the prison. Because we are born and brought up inside the prison. That is the problem. That's the problem. So, therefore, we don't even think that we can get out of this situation. We don't even think about this. Altogether, we feel happy here. Overall, we feel happy. So, then what do we say? We say, can you keep my room a little bit clean? That's our request to the jail warden. We say, that's what we do to Krishna. At least, can you make my life happy in this world? But we forget the fact that we are inside this prison, that we completely forget it. So then we say, can you paint my the walls of the room, or paint the iron bar of the jail? Can you paint it for me, and or keep my room clean? This is our request, which is inside this jail. So, and to do that, there are demigods to do that for us, and saying that. You can see in this world also, now we talk about compassion to the prisoners also. We say we should show compassion to the prisoners. We are already in the prison, and in this prison there is other prisoners, and this prisoner want to show compassion to the other prisoner. This is the prison we are in. What can we do? I mean, we never think about those things. We are thinking, we are all released, completely free and independent to do what we want, and we want to show our compassion to the prisoners. That's why we start all these programs in the jail now, because the customers are there. We go there as though everyone else is free now, escape from everything else. So all these kinds of things comes out from that. And not only that, because this mercy for the prisoners have increased, we started, now they're everywhere, it's happening, they're bringing rules. We should provide them television in the prison. We should provide them all other kinds. Not only we see the television, they should also see the television inside the prison. And in other words, we won't give them also peace in the prison. Like we are disturbed outside, although we are not in that prison, but still we want them also get disturbed there in the prison by showing them the television. So, similarly, the demigods also is like that. They won't let you go from here. They'll hold you back here somehow. This is their duty. They'll also make you feel there is a lot of happiness here. There's some comforts they'll provide you, this, that and the other. And make us feel that's why everybody wants to go to demigods. Don't want to go to Krishna for this, anything. They feel more happy to do that in that way. So, so long as we are inside this prison, they will also give us some happiness. Demigods will provide us some happiness. That's all they can do, and that's all we can expect from them. We can expect from them. Then, in other words, When we have Satugunam, we will go to Satsangam. And sometimes, even in Satsangam, some people are expecting a Satsangam should be full of fun, entertainment. Some people have developed that nature also, that you can see if a speaker is all the time joking and talking all kinds of things and humor people, or create an interactive session, and all the time, if it goes that way, they are happy. That's what they are expecting from Satsangam. Some other people are expecting some knowledge from Satsangam. Some people expect some meditation, peace of mind inside, Dhyana Sugam. In other words, Chittavritti stops at least for that time. So, within these three activities is what you find Satsangam also. Satsangam is also in the middle of all that thing. So, strictly speaking, that if the perfection happens in Satsangam, Samadhi Sugam one should experience. That is the statement of the Shastram. Shastram is saying you should experience Samadhi in that state. Samadhi state. So, because Sattvagunam is strong in a person, he will experience Samadhi in that state. Samadhi Sugam will be there. Because it is not a big effect, that is the particular benefit from that. Krishna is saying here, Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam. Knowledge, if Sattvagunam increases, what will happen? Sattvagunam will create this situation. Create this situation, knowledge will become strengthened inside. And with the strengthening of knowledge, desires will get vanquished. Desires will get destroyed inside. That is the beauty of the knowledge. That's what knowledge does. So, as I mentioned before, that the Sattvagunam, what it does is, it shows you the way for knowledge and opens the door for liberation and let you go. Just like that thief, he brought you out from the forest and let you out to go, free to go. Similarly, Sattvagunam does exactly the same thing. It creates knowledge in a person, and that knowledge takes him away and takes him to the door for liberation, the door of liberation. So, therefore, because it leads to knowledge, leads to liberation, Sattvagunam is considered to be more beneficial. So, while in the Satsangam, meditation or bhakti, when one experiences, it has to be understood in that way, that the Sattvagunam is influencing strongly. So there is a possibility there. When you experience bhakti, devotion, knowledge, all these things, that is a symptom of that. But it will not take you directly there. What is the benefit then? Benefit is that earlier we talked about that the soul has no birth, no changes happens in the soul. It only happens to the body. This knowledge will come strongly inside. It is a, you see, when we are under completely in the bodily concept of life, you will notice that all fear captures us, isn't it? Body will get sick, mind will get disturbed, and our anxiety about life in this world, these are all symptoms or fear that develops in the body, isn't it? These things happen in the Rajogunam, Tamogunam. In Sattvagunam, what happens? Sattvagunam, knowledge develops in such a way that changes that is happening in me, in the body, in the mind, in the intelligence, all the changes that's happening in me is not happening in my real nature. This knowledge will come strongly inside us. I am not affected by the modes of nature. That knowledge will develop strongly. So directly, Janmadi Sarvabhava Varjidam. That means, I am not born, I won't die, no changes will happen. I am the Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. My pure nature is, I am eternal, I am pure, I am consciousness, and I am always liberated. This awakening will come in a person. It will lead to that knowledge. So it's 10 past 6. We'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll continue on Saturday.
Yeah.